Chapter 4, Section 4.12, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Exercise 1. Listen to an extract from a radio program about the rime of the ancient mariner and fill in the missing words or phrases.
Good evening. I'd like to welcome Professor Michael Duffy to this week's edition of Echoes from English Romantic Literature. He is an expert on Samuel Taylor Coleridge at Alexander College and will take a closer look at the world of the rhyme. Professor Duffy, the romantic poet Coleridge is able to introduce the reader to a fantastical, supernatural world. Is that true?
Yes, that's right. However, I'd like to start by giving you a short summary of what is considered the romantic poem that most strikes the reader's imagination, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. In the first part, the ancient mariner stops a wedding guest to tell him his dreadful tale. He narrates how he and his fellow mariners reached the equator and the polar regions after a violent storm. After several days, an albatross appeared through the fog and was killed by the mariner. The shooting of a bird may seem a matter of little moment, but Coleridge makes it significant in two ways. First of all, he does not say why the mariner kills the albatross, and what matters is precisely the uncertainty of the mariner's motives, which suggests the essential irrationality of the crime. Secondly, this action is against nature and breaks a sacred law of life. In the second part, the mariner begins to suffer punishment for what he has done, and Coleridge transfers the corruption and the helplessness, which are the common attributes of guilt, to the physical world. The world which faces the mariner after his crime is dead and terrible. The ship has ceased to move, and the sailors are tortured by thirst, and the only moving things are slimy creatures in the sea at night. The third part shows how the mariner's guilty soul becomes conscious of what he has done and of his isolation in the world. A phantom ship comes closer to the crew and is identified as a skeleton ship. On board, death and life in death cast dice. The former wins the mariner's fellows, who all die, and the latter wins the mariner's life. In the fourth part, this sense of solitude is stressed. Then the mariner, unaware, blesses the water snakes and begins to re-establish a relationship with the world of nature. The fifth part continues the process of the soul's revival. The ship begins to move, and celestial spirits stand by the corpses of the dead mariners. In the sixth part, the process of purification seems to be impeded. In the last stanzas of the seventh part, the mariner gains the wedding guest's sympathy. Coleridge does not tell us the end of the story, but lets the reader suppose that the mariner's sense of guilt will end only with his death.